Hi, everybody. Give everyone a moment to settle in. All right. So, welcome. We've not had class for two sessions, but it's been 3 weeks, which I realized yesterday. It's a long time. I hope that you have all been using the time well and have had a really nice 3 weeks. And if you needed it for some catch up, I hope you've been using it. We're going to talk about that in a moment. But I'm so glad that we're here again for our breakthrough questioning practicum. Before we jump in, I'd love to invite all of you to take a moment and think about what's something that you want to celebrate from the last 3 weeks, inner or outer. Nothing is too big or too small to separate, to celebrate. What's something that you really want to celebrate? What's something that you want to own? Alta saying forgiveness. It's a big thing to celebrate, yes. Yeah, and I'd love for you to share in the chat along with Alta. What are you celebrating? Projects coming to fruition, Amy. Awesome. Michaelin had a breakthrough with Mary Ann. Being seen on video, AJ. Showing up when it's hard. Yeah, so big. One of my daughter's schools, they have a theme every year. And this year, their school theme is do what's right, not what's easy. Coaching, creating a talk for the Federation of Holistic Therapists, being aware of resistances. So many beautiful celebrations. Okay, so before we jump in to our practicum, I wanted to mention a couple of logistical or housekeeping pieces. So the first is, and I may have mentioned this before, but I like to kind of continue to just remind and nudge. You've got, for those of you that have coaching partners for the program, you have your coaching partner, but you don't have to do, you don't have to only practice with that one coaching partner. There's so many opportunities for practice. And to practice with different people in the program. So, if you're looking for more practice or you're looking for practicing with folks with different experiences, or maybe you and your partner are having some ease in connecting and finding times, but you're seeing like you may not hit the 18 together and you know you want to get those 18 sessions in. Invite other people in our group to practice with. I know there's lots of takers in the group. You can use the Facebook group, you can use the chat for that, etc. And it's just great to get to know other people too, especially like-minded people. Second piece, We're at that point in the program where some of you might be like, oh my gosh, I have a lot to catch up on. If that is you, I just want to normalize the experience. It is totally normal. Like, there's so many different experiences, right? And one of them is like, oh, I'm not caught up yet. I missed some sessions. I'm behind, or I wanted to go back and review, all of that. If this is you, first of all, I just want to remind you to approach yourself with love. It's all good. You've got this. And if you're ready to start catching up or continue, make a plan. Just make a plan with some baby steps of when you'll catch up. If you need support on that, ask me, ask Caitlin, ask Inbal. We're here to support. There's many reasons why Sacred Depths is 10 months versus 1 month or 2 months. One is because like we need the time to catch up and to integrate. The other reason, which is related, and this is important for all of us and for all of us to know as practitioners and teachers, etc. Learning is cyclical, not linear, right? So when we have a course like this, we have to have a curriculum, like we're doing this first, questioning, creating awareness, listening, etc., etc., etc. But I don't expect you to have mastered your listening skills now that we've moved from that in the curriculum. You're going to keep on coming back to the listening skills and keep on coming back to the creating awareness skills and keep on coming back to the breakthrough questioning skills. This is a cyclical learning journey over 10 months, right? So allow yourself to be in that space. And then the last logistics piece that I wanted to mention today, I mentioned this on our first call, and I'm going to mention it again. Get what you need here. There are so many opportunities. I think you all know by now, I am here for you 100%. There's so many different resources. Ask questions if you have questions. Use the Facebook group more if that's a place where you can get your needs met. Be intentional about how you use all of the resources here and use this experience as a stretch into new ways to get what you need. New ways of getting your needs met. There's so much here for you. Let me pause there. Any questions on partner coaching, catching up, getting what you need?
I
Right.
actually have a question.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing the certification, and maybe this isn't the place to ask, but the scheduling times don't work for me. How do I work with that?
Who were you, which coach were you matched up with?
Inbal?
Okay. Let me check in with Inbal. I'll ask Inbal to reach out to you and see if you can make your schedules meet up. If not, then Caitlin and Makita have other times available. So we'll get that need met either way, but thanks for letting me know and I'll ask Inbal to reach out.
All right, thank you.
Yeah. Cecil is asking for a little reminder of the ways in which needs can be met. Yeah, great question. So first of all, asking questions in session, asking questions in between sessions, ask in the Facebook group, come to our monthly Q&A calls where you can ask anything that you need. If you are finding that you've got places of resistance, bring that to Q&A calls, bring that to the Facebook group. Remember that you have a whole in the member center, tons of bonus trainings as well, right? And if there's any, I can't promise, like if there are other things that you need, I can't absolutely promise that I will give that I'll be able to give them. But if you're like, oh, there's something that's not here, but I kind of need it, shoot me a note and I'll see. I always will see what I can do. Okay. All right. So today we have our breakthrough questioning practicum. So we're going to continue to build the questioning muscle that we've been building over this module. And we'll do it the way we've done our listening practicum and our creating awareness practicum. So I'll call a volunteer. I'll ask questions, but really it's not coaching what I'm going to be doing. It's really just to give all of you information to be able to practice crafting breakthrough questions. You'll have time and space to really craft some questions. This is like building the muscle is about the practicing of the crafting of the questions. For those of you that are seasoned practitioners, a reminder, don't rely on your old tricks. Use this practice space to go beyond kind of the regular, even if they're incredible questions, which I know you've got incredible questions in your stable, go beyond your regular questions. Use this time to really stretch into new places and build those questioning muscles. Before I ask for a volunteer, I'd love for you all to reflect for a moment. And share what have you been noticing and learning about questioning in your practice sessions, in your client sessions, as you've been doing homework? What have you been learning and noticing about questioning? What's been feeling important to you? Michaelin.
I'm noticing that I'm being much more intentional about my questioning, and I'm aware of the sequencing that you do. And so I love how you really take clients to a place, like there's a journey with the questioning, instead of just questioning in the moment to go deeper, to go deeper, to go deeper. Like there's a process and a place that you're trying to get to, whatever that might be. Like it's not predetermined, but you're trying to get somewhere. And in the like being really aware of that and trying to integrate that, like I'm going back, in my pacing and feeling a little clunky sometimes and having a little judgment about, okay, I used to know how to do this, but now I'm doing it differently. And it's that awareness of the learner's mind and the process and trusting that it's all coming in, it's all integrating as it will, and being okay with sort of not doing it perfectly, but really accessing a deeper awareness and process for the client. So really cool stuff.
Yeah, so much in what you just said. So first of all, just big yay to all of it. And this, I love what you're saying about how it's a journey, but it's not a predetermined journey. So you're really thinking that you're moving the client towards their desired goal for the session, step by step by step, but not necessarily knowing. You're using your listening skills to take each step and take each step. And that clunky thing that you're talking about, I know you know this, like it's so normal. It's kind of like, I'll use a personal experience, like transitioning from having one kid to two kids. Like I knew how to parent one kid. I had all those skills down, but then at like when you add something new, there is that. I mean, not that my clunkiness in parenting has ever gone away, but it's like that transitional phase where you're adding the new. And so what I hear is you're being really intentional about it. And my sense, Michaelin, is that it may feel clunky internally as you're being so intentional to integrate and learn. But from all that you've shared in the Facebook group the last few weeks, I don't think it's coming through to your clients. Thanks for all those shares. Lane.
My question relates a little bit to what Angela is saying in the chat. I think the four levels of learning model is so powerful, but I'm struggling a little bit to put it into practice in the context of my questions. I really tend to stay at the cognitive level, and I understand that it's important to get to the emotional, spiritual, and somatic levels to really make sure that the client is integrating, but I'm struggling to get there in a way that feels natural.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to normalize that. It's a new skill and you're more comfortable with the cognitive. And what I'd say is, first of all, just take pressure off of yourself to hit, all four, and it has to be perfect and all the things, right? Keep it Set it as, and when you're with your clients or practice partners, set it as like an intention, let's see what happens here without locking in on it. And then after the session, Lane, go back and reflect on the session and say, okay, what is a heart question I could have asked here? What is a spirit question, right? And by doing that, you'll build the muscle and it will then, integrate more and more as you go into your sessions. And then today we have this time. Drill down on it today too. Like as cognitive questions come to you, write them down, but really set the intention today as you're listening, like, what is a spirit question I can ask? What is a cognitive, et cetera. I mean, a body, a heart. Yeah. And remember that learning is cyclical. It's just, it, this is part of the process. Yeah, I'm glad you're bringing that forward.
Thank you.
Thanks. Annalise.
So last week I said to you, Joanna, how incredible it was to connect the questions to this fourth dimension of being, which I find, it was just that missing bits. I also, what really is resonating with me a lot in asking questions, in being here in sacred depth, there are two things. And for me, those things are going beyond what I usually do. And the first one is actually ask all the questions with love and compassion. The energetics, sometimes, we need to check ourselves on the way, we are asking the question, because we don't want the clients to feel that we are sort of like, and as a lawyer, in my previous life, sometimes I may sort of like cross the line between a loving question and like an interrogatory question. And I need to be careful about that. But I don't think it's a prerogative of lawyers, just I think it's a bit everyone. So just really sort of like coming from a place of love and compassion. And then the second thing, which I absolutely love and I'm learning to do, is to ask question on something embarrassing, like to name something, like the client comes late or, you know, there is some stuff which is very awkward, and lovingly ask about that. Yeah. So I've noticed you always come late, or, you know, I've noticed, you know, these things, is that, you know, shall we, you know, and just, and to me, it's quite difficult to do that because, but.
It's great. And what you're speaking to is not just questioning, but you're stretching into working with resistance in a new way, which is really, really beautiful. And I hear both like some of the skill that's developing there, as well as the energetics around that in place. So really well done. I know it takes courage. Really, really well done. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. There's some great things in the chat. Also, the more I relax into curiosity, the more I can hold their intention in mind and craft the next best question. Questions are can openers. Rhonda's saying, I'm recognizing the resistance piece with others and trying to figure out how to move through that with breakthrough questioning. Yes, it's a stretch. Questions are great ways to break new ground. Yeah, beautiful. Rachel's saying the most important thing is the client's response and engagement with the questions. There's a shared responsibility that takes off the pressure to ask the question perfectly. Yes, it doesn't have to be the perfect question at all. Okay. So as we go into the practicum, I want to invite you, for those of you that are going to be observers, we'll have one volunteer, observers and questioners. I want to invite you to keep in mind, you know, I was about to say, keep in mind all the things we learned about breakthrough questioning. That's not possible, but I'm going to remind you of some of them to keep top of mind. First of all, use your listening skills and check your filters, right? The best questions come from deep listening and checking filters and listening to client and listening to self. Ask questions where you're not attached to an outcome, where a particular answer is, you know, a particular answer or outcome. Think about the principle of choice. Think about language. Think about connecting the dots. Questions, remember, also support our clients to connect the dots. Think about the four levels of learning and processing. And as a reminder, there's the cognitive level, the heart level, the spirit level, and the body level. And Inval shared with me a great question came out of the last small group cohort around this, which is, you know, what if your client doesn't believe in spirit? So then how do you ask a spirit level question? And so I want to remind everybody that we can activate the spirit level with clients without ever using the word spirit. Spirit level is about supporting the client to connect to something that's bigger than they are, because that creates trust. So of course, if we happen to know that the term spirit resonates with a client, then great, we can use that in a question. But we can always use other terms, things that we know they do believe in, whatever they trust in, that's bigger than their ego, higher wisdom, universe, the love that they have for their children, right? Like sometimes I might ask a spirit question that's, if I know someone has a child, you know, what would you want Theo to learn from this? You know, their kid. We can invoke their favorite movie star, their author, right? And then of course, if we're not sure, we can always ask. Okay, so all that being said, oh, I need to get a piece of paper so I can take notes. Hold on a second. Who'd like to be our volunteer client for today? Who's got something that they would like some support on. Ayana.
Hi. My heart's pounding. Part of me is like, no, don't get attention right now.
Thank you for volunteering and for willing to be seen for yourself and in support of all of us and our learning.
Thank you for holding a safe space. I know I'm all wiggly and my heart is pounding hard. So I just want to take a moment to breathe.
Yeah, you want to take a moment? You want to maybe put a hand on your heart? Would that be okay? And we can all do this together. And just bring ourselves fully present. All the parts coming back home to ourselves. Good.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. So I'm gonna remind you, there are gonna be moments where I'm gonna wanna coach or reflect or honor or, you know, ask a deeper question. And it might slip out here and there, but I'm gonna do my best not to. So I don't want you to feel like, oh my gosh, she's not seeing me or hearing me or she's leaving me hanging. My purpose in the questions I ask is for all of us to get a lot of information to be able to craft questions.
I understand. And I thought something inside was telling me to raise my hand. And so I didn't think about it and I just did it. So.
So if this were a session, what is it that you would want to receive?
More clarity and returning to a sense of feeling connected to spirit and like a clear vision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can you share with us a little bit more about what's going on that's having you feel unclear and disconnected there?
Yeah. Just even coming to this call, it was kind of like this constant like hurling tornado thing, and I kind of like reached through and like, okay, I'm here. And I'm definitely not caught up, and I like to be a really good student. And I'm to even come here is, yeah, and I met with my coaching partner, but I couldn't even coach. And I had a paying client last night and I had to cancel. A lot of it has to do with my health. And I got test results last week that were hard to deal with. And I just came back yesterday from being with my mom. I was staying with her in the hospital and then helped her get set up with hospice at home. And family dynamics have always been a nightmare. And having to deal with nightmare family dynamics while my mom, whom I love dearly, and is the only reason that I would even be there around them. You know, she's been sick for a long time with cancer, but even when it was spread through her whole body, she was still teaching water aerobic classes and doing things. And it's shifted now to where there's multiple places in her body where it's just a matter of any moment that any one of these spots could kill her. And she's not able to really walk on her own, or she has to be on oxygen. And so it seems like it really is the end. And there's some of the tumors are in places that are really, really painful. So she's had a lot of pain for a long time. And I'm dealing with a situation where my own health has been a matter of life and death. And then there's just a lot of stuff going on in her home, like repairs that need done, and the medical expenses are, it's not being covered by insurance, and it's just extraordinary. And it just feels like money, yeah, is just so needed. And there, it just feels like there's just all these impossible situations. Mm-hmm. And I keep feeling like giving up.
Sounds like it's a really hard time, and I know it's not, it's been going on for a while.
Yeah. And I had some treatment, and I was having, when I started Sacred Debts, I was having like level 9 migraine most of the time, and then having to take medication to bring it down to like a 7. And and now it's like between 5 and 7 level, so it's, that is a big improvement. And so I'm grateful that, you know, the math in my own brain is getting smaller and treatments are working, but
so
it's all very like, you know, with lots of ups and downs.
Mm-hmm. When you say I think I know what you mean, but can you put words to that?
Just my own health stuff has felt completely overwhelming. Just the strength it takes to get out of bed every day feels completely overwhelming. And the pain of the treatments is overwhelming. The pain of not having treatments is overwhelming. The pain of trying to deal with regular life when just doing anything feels like a monumental effort. Is a lot. And then the dynamics with my mother, the love is, and the complications, it's a complicated relationship.
Yeah. And also
the things, a lot of mess.
Yeah. So this is like that mess and that complication and that overwhelm.
Yes.
Yeah. So when you say that you want clarity and a return to spirit, can you pinpoint for us a little bit more what that means? What is it? I'll ask you first. What is it that you would like clarity on?
Yeah, I'm gonna grab a tissue. Yeah, like I don't even know anymore. Like, you know, I have visions at times of what I'm going to do with my life or why I'm here or why I'm going through all, you know, continuing going on. I don't feel connected to that. Like, I don't, you know, I mean, much of my life, I had this vision of feeling like I'm a cat thrown into the middle of the ocean in a storm kind of feeling. But it feels like that feeling has kind of taken over, even with, you know, doing self-care and trying to, you know, manage things.
I heard the storm, but what was it inside the storm that you
felt? I said it felt like I was like a cat thrown in the middle of the ocean with a storm.
I thought you said that. And I felt like
a drowning cat, you know, like a cat, you know, cats don't like being in the water.
Yeah.
And I know that I've also had really, really profoundly deep connection with spirit and nature. And I haven't been feeling that. Connection. I know a lot of that is like the toxicity of my family and the way they see me and the way they treat me, and it kind of, you know, makes me feel like I'm shell-shocked. Mm-hmm. Kind of continuously shell-shocked.
Yeah. Okay, let me just reflect back to make sure I'm getting it right. So with everything that's going on, there's so much going on and so many layers, and it's complicated, not just emotionally and not just cognitively, you know, and all with all the physical, like there's so much going on. It sounds like this is a moment right now where you're disconnected from your bigger vision. And is that your bigger vision for your life, for your work, you know, all of it?
Yeah, for everything.
everything.
And I feel disconnected from my partner. And I was really glad my son and I had a long talk last night, because he and I were usually really close. And I realized, like, I didn't even feel connected to him. Mm-hmm. And something in me, something like got unplugged or something. And,
Yeah. So tell me if I'm getting this right. I think what I'm hearing from you is, what you know is that even if you can't change all this outside things that are happening, when you have that connection and clarity with your vision, when you have that connection to spirit and nature, when you have that connection to your loved ones, you're not so much that there's maybe the storm is still happening, but you're not the drowning cat. Am I getting that right?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely felt in me the energy of being able to be the storm or be the whole universe, and where all the things seem smaller. And I haven't been feeling that. I've been feeling like I'm like the victim of everything. And then I'm also the trustee for my mom's stuff. And there's family members that have been stealing enormous amounts of money and doing all kinds of other things. And I'm the one now responsible to take care of things. And the people that have been stealing, they would really like to have me dead, that I don't call them out. And all the stuff that, honestly, just trying to, like, I can't even make myself a sandwich. I mean, I can't even eat sandwiches, but if I could, I mean, you know what I mean? I'm like, I'm not, like, if I can wash one dish, if I can make it to this class, like, that's my level. And I'm really not at the level of dealing with a whole army of people, like, shooting at me, you know?
Yeah.
And then I left, even though my mom wants me there more than anybody, but I had to come to terms with, you know, she's got a lot of dysfunction that she's created over a lifetime, and I've helped her a gazillion tons throughout her life, and I would be there for her so much. I would be there every moment if I could, but she's chosen this environment with these people.
I
would be there with her, even though that's really hard too. Just being with her in this situation is hard and painful, but it's also really rewarding.
I'm gonna pause you, Ayana, to kind of just ask a couple more questions.
And thank you for that, because I just, for feedback, I could feel myself getting sucked into the place that I actually don't want to be in, where I'm like lost in the storm.
I'm glad that you were able to see that too. So if this were a session, you would want clarity again on the vision, connection to the vision, connection to spirit and nature. As you've been talking and sharing, is there anything else that you want to add? Like, what is it that you really want to receive right now? You know, as you take all of this into consideration.
Honestly, I feel like I would like a miracle from spirit, you know? It's like my whole, what I'm going through is challenging, but every year of my life has been at least this challenging or more. Sometimes this isn't the hardest thing I've ever gone through, but I'm just more tired now than I've ever been. I just need my life to be a little easier. And I try to add pleasure and joy and fun no matter what's happening, but I just am not feeling, you know, I'm going to the moves, but I just can't seem to feel it. So what I want is impossible. I mean, it's not impossible.
Yeah, I know. I wish we could ask you a question that would give you the miracle on the outside, and we can't.
I go for a miracle on the inside.
Okay, great. And what would a miracle on the inside be?
Well, I would love to be able to feel good about myself and connected to myself, even in the face of whether it's being around family that are constantly attacking me, or choosing to not be around them and feel good about myself for that choice, and to still feel good about myself even though I'm not able to do very much. Yeah. And to feel good about myself even though my life has been really hard and continues to be.
Beautiful. Thank you.
I would like to be able to focus on more of the good and the beauty, which is something I've cultivated a lot. But yeah, there's just been this sense of the other things feel so urgent, and it feels like I have to deal with them, you know?
Yeah.
But I can't solve them. And I would like to I guess that part that thinks that it has to just keep being focused on all the crap that I can't change or do, you know, that I could feel good about myself while not looking at that stuff, instead of feeling, you know, I mean, my family, like, there was such denial and not looking at, you know, like sexual abuse, drug abuse, all that kind of stuff. So it's some part that feels like I have to look at that, you know, but I'm like, this isn't the same as, like, you know, ignoring those kinds of things, maybe, you know. Yeah. Maybe this is something where I can take a breath and look at the beauty, and where it's not the same as denying child abuse.
Yes.
You know, that yeah. It would be.
Do you notice the shift in your energy just as you've been sharing this last minute or two about these internal miracles?
I feel more calm, and I also actually feel a lot of anger.
Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna leave us at your anger. I already fear I've done a little bit too much coaching, so I wanna kind of leave the space open here. And Ayana, if you want, now you can put your coaching hat on too, or not, whatever feels right for you. I'll give us 3-4 minutes. Hopefully you've all been writing down questions as you've been listening, but I'll give us another like 3-4 minutes to take some time to craft some more questions. Think about, what are the awarenesses that you want to create for this client? Remember, that's always where we're going with questions, is what are the awarenesses that you would like to create for this client? And take your time in this practice space to think about words. And when we open the space, I'm gonna ask for shares voice to voice. And I want you to also think about your tone and your timing and your pacing, right? We looked at all of that as you ask the questions. So I'll give us a couple minutes right now. What questions would you ask this client? Take another minute or two. Okay. So I'd love to hear some, more than some, I'd love to hear all your shares. What are the questions that you've come up with? And as a reminder, when you ask, think about the tone, and the pacing and the rhythm of your question. Cecil.
Hi, Ayana. So I want to say my heart is pounding now as well. As I would like to ask you this question, first I would like to just reflect back a little bit, saying that I hear that you feel like taken by a tornado, and that you're overwhelmed by both the regular everyday life, health issues, family issues, and your mother's transitioning. And I want to honor really all the things that are happening, and that really there is a tornado around you. And at the same time, within a tornado, there is also a quiet place in the center, a place where things are the calmest. And I'm wondering if it's possible for you to sense that place.
Beautiful. So really beautiful reflections and some consulting too, on the middle of the tornado. And then this question, which is a very body level, activating the body level question, you know, finding that place in the middle. So really beautifully done. One thing I'll share, because, you know, I'm just pushing everyone to, you know, get, I don't know what the word is. Anyway, I may have missed it because I don't hear everything. Ayana may have used also the metaphor of the tornado. I heard the metaphor of the storm. Did she also
use? I said tornado at first.
Oh, you did. Okay, yeah. Great. In so the then it's all beginning. Good. So I was going to say, if tornado wasn't used, do you want to stick with
I didn't
metaphor.
Metaphors. I didn't stick to one.
But awesome. So Cecil, you heard something that I didn't there. Perfect. Great. Who else? Let's hear some more questions. What have you got? Don't be shy. This is for all of our learning. Barbara.
Good morning, everybody. So after some reflecting on what I heard, what I was drawn to is asking, where in your body do you feel when you are connected to spirit, and how does that feel? So again, going, you know, to ask about, because Ayana said, you know, that she has felt connected to spirit. So this is not an unusual thing that, she, you know, she's never known. This is a missing thing that she usually knows.
Yeah.
And yeah. How does that feel? And my second question was, what is your heart telling you about yourself and what you need?
Beautiful. Both of those really beautiful questions. So that first one, bringing the client back to what they already know, which is that connection to spirit, and a great body somatic question, you know, how does that feel, or where in your body is that, and how does that feel? And then that second question, a beautiful heart opening question, and that kind of like that inner wisdom question. Nicely done. Amy.
Hi, Ayana. Thank you so much for being so deep and sharing your truth with us and being so present to your experience. My question was similar to Barbara's, or the one that I wanted to share, but I have a few. But it's just a little different. I said, imagine the inner miracle has happened and you now feel 100% good about yourself. What do you notice? If you can imagine that you've received that gift, what would change in your body? What do you notice in your body? And then another question I had is, what needs to be in place to feel good about yourself? Mm. So I was really towards the end, there was so much about feeling good about myself. And she repeated that many times. So I really hooked into that language there, to feel good about yourself.
Yeah. Two really beautiful questions. And that second one, so simple, right? What needs to be in place in order to feel good about yourself, but just like using that deep listening and bringing it there. Beautiful. Sophie.
Yeah, thanks, Ayana. Thank you so much for everything you shared. I noticed that I sensed your power many times throughout the conversation. And there was one particular time where you took an exhale and you said, it was something about being the storm. Like, sometimes I can be the storm. And I found myself wanting to ask, you know, tell me about a time in your life when you have been the storm.
Yeah, nicely done. First of all, just beautiful honoring and celebrating that moment of power and reflecting that. And then again, similar to one of the questions asked earlier, like I think by Barbara, bringing the client back to the moment of connection or the moment of power, and then building on that. Nicely done. Nell.
Hi, thank you, Ayana. Sending you love. It does feel like there's a lot that you're dealing with right now. I, you know, related to some of the other questions, it does sound like you have had feelings of being connected to spirit before, connected to nature, connected to yourself. So I am curious, you know, when have you had those feelings? When have you felt connected to yourself or connected to nature? You know, when in your life did you feel that way? You know, is it going on a hike? Is it, you know, I'm curious as to if you can pinpoint those feelings of connection, and then maybe inject a little bit more of that in places now. And then my other question is there anybody?
Let's okay. Pause there. So
okay.
Beautiful question. And I know it's like a little awkward because it's not in the moment. So it's a beautiful question. But I just want to point out, just in case, there were two questions in there. So there's the first piece and then the injection piece, right? Yes. So in the session, you'd let the client answer.
Yes.
And then what's the, take a moment now, what's the actual question that you would ask around injecting pieces? How would you ask that question?
Where can you, or let's see, how can you make sure that, or how can you prioritize, can't get the wording right. How can you, how can you inject that into your life now? Where can you make space to make sure that you're giving yourself the opportunities to have those moments of connection?
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, two great questions. Good. I know I put you on the spot, but
that's okay.
All right, and then what was your second? You said you had another one.
My second question is, it sounds like the family dynamic is complicated, but considering all you're going through health-wise, is there anyone else that can help you with this? With, you know, the stuff with your mother's estate, some of those things that feels like a lot to pile on top. Is there anybody else that is trustworthy or that can maybe take some of this off your plate or can assist you?
Yeah, nice. And I want to point out that's a yes or no question, which we know sometimes yes or no questions exactly what's needed in the moment sometimes. And I'm going to put you on the spot again for all of our
learning.
What's another way to ask that question that's not yes or no? That could open up, maybe open it up even more.
Who in your life could be a source of support in any of these matters that are feeling so overwhelming? Where can you go for some support so you're not handling it all alone?
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. Really, really nicely done. One thing I want to point out about all of these incredible questions that everybody is asking, and I don't know if this is, you're all doing it intentionally, like you've thought about this, or this is just intuitive and masterful in the back of all of your minds. But all of the questions, they're all, none of them are pulling the client back into the overwhelm, back into, you know, if there's trauma, some of that trauma. All of the questions are supporting the client to move forward into solutions. Now, that doesn't mean that there isn't work to be done there, like in the storm in that way, but that's out of our scope as coaches. So just really well done. Kelly.
It's such interesting timing that you say that, Joanna, because my piece is like actually wanting to go in a little bit more around sort of deepening into some of the nervous system pieces that I was hearing coming up. So I'd love to talk through it and just get your feedback, but mine was actually touching into some of those places. So first, Ayana, I just want to say that I'm offering you so much love and honoring for all that you're walking with and your capacity to keep holding your mom and being in the space with your son and your partner and all of the things that you're doing and have clearly been doing for a really long time. And just hearing so much you mentioned the victim archetype, but I'm also just hearing this incredible warrior archetype in you and you, your awareness about the energies and how they impact you, both the hard energies and the difficult family dynamics, as well as what it is to be in nature and what it is to connect deeply with your son and to connect with your mom. And I'm also hearing this place in you that keeps wanting to go to the place of, I have to keep fighting and I have to keep trying and working in spite of all the hard things. And when you mentioned the image of the cat in the ocean, and then I kept hearing you speaking of these pieces of having to go on, or it felt in my body, it was feeling like just struggling. And it was like that cat just like reaching for air. And then right at the end, when you mentioned, I'm actually feeling calm and I'm feeling anger. And I, for me, that really sparked. And I was like, wow, what would it be? What would it be like if you allowed yourself to feel that? And what would that look like and feel like? And then it, in my work, what I would do is actually work some ritual into it and look at like, how do we work with anger? Because the word that kept popping into my mind as I was hearing you, like I wrote it down 5 times as I was listening, was permission to have these other feelings, rather than just clawing out of the ocean and like, I've got to be good. I've got to try. I've got to hold up everything. And I just kept hearing, what if you just gave yourself permission to feel, and what would that be like? So that is going a little bit into the sort of harder parts, but.
So I'm so glad you're asking this. We can go into the harder parts, and all that you shared was so beautiful and appropriate. What you weren't doing in that is saying, feel what the drowned cat feels like. That is going back into, you bring yourself back into those, right? Like that kind of thing. You're acknowledging and reflecting and honoring what is. Mm-hmm. And then you're asking a forward moving question, right? So, well, we'll get to the question in a moment. So beautiful. To stretch you a little bit now, what is the question? I want to, without context, what is, based on everything you just said, what is one poignant question that you can ask?
I am curious what it would be like to give yourself permission to feel the feelings that are actually arising in you.
Yes. Yeah. Beautiful. Really, really nicely done. Yeah. Another way, because I noted a question around what you're talking about too, another way to kind of start to move into that could also be, what power is available to you inside of your anger? Or what's the miracle, to use her words, that's available to you when you feel your anger, right? So we can absolutely go to those places.
Yeah.
Good. I'm so glad you brought that forward. Such great stuff. Who else? Don't be shy. What other cues have you got? Even if you're not sure, it's just great learning for us to take a look. What's going on in the chat? Deva sharing, this is where I would want to drop into consoling, noticing the difference here. That is neither consulting or coaching. Good, Deva. I'd want to offer healing, compassion, and the space to be with spirit, her breath. Yeah, so, and you're, Deva, like that's so much of that nervous system work and bringing to grounding. And then Deva's moving into the anger too. What is the sound of your anger? What is the sound of the inner miracle? Also very, very nice. Yeah. Michaelin is saying, I would want to spend some time helping Ayana to simply regulate her nervous system. Yes. Yeah. I mean, we're focusing on questions, but that's absolutely like a beautiful road to go down, or one that you might want to go down first before asking questions, if that felt important. 100%. Maria's saying, I wanted to ask about the wanting to give up Ayana mentioned and what that means to her. Would that be inappropriate and totally out of place? I don't think so. Well, Maria, are you willing to come on for a moment, voice to voice? Yes, no.
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you. What's the awareness that you would want to create with this question?
Well, actually, I just wanted to know if that would be, because when what I heard when she was saying it, it was, if she was having a level of a tone when she says give up, it kind of lowered, and I just I felt like I wasn't sure what she meant with that, but would that be too painful to grab that thought, or you just leave it and you try to find another way to circle around it? But I felt that was the end of what, you know, what she wanted to, express what I mean. It was just, I didn't want to make it, if I was a coach, I didn't want to do a wrong, action.
Yeah. So I think I'm getting what you're saying. I think what I'm hearing you say is you heard that when she said, like, sometimes she has this feeling of giving up, you could feel, yeah. You wanted to honor that, like that experience, and acknowledge that experience. So if there isn't an awareness that you want to create around it, other than honoring it, or, you know, just say, you know, this, I see you, I hear you, then I would use like more of an honoring technique. Like, I hear how hard that is, or it must be so hard to sometimes feel like you want to give up, you know, and allow the client to be seen and heard in that, but there may not necessarily be a question around it, unless there's a different awareness other than just you're being seen and heard in it that you want to create there. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yes, totally.
Yeah. And I think that's a beautiful instinct to want to honor and, you know, see, have the client be seen and heard in that. Nice.
Okay. Thank you.
It's good to see you on video too. Hear your voice. Isa.
Hey, Joanna. Hey, everyone. I had a couple of questions and I wasn't sure if they would be appropriate, but I'll ask them. And Ayana, thank you so much for your sharing. I am sending you a big hug. And the question I had written down was, what would it be like to be there for your mom and for yourself and have it feel safe? And I asked that because Ayana mentioned that, you know, dysfunctional family and previous abuse. And my intention with when I was thinking of that question would be to present, like, how is there a way to be able to be in these really hard experiences and feel safe and not be, you know, and forgive me if I'm interjecting my own projections, but, you know, abuse or misconduct by other people. And so would that be an appropriate question to ask, or is that not okay?
I love where you're going with it. I think that moving it out of the yes or no and then into some solutions could be helpful. So something like, what would healthy boundaries look like with your family? Does that make sense why I'm suggesting? Because I think that awareness that you want to create is a great instinct and can be really valuable, but you want to kind of open up the question a bit.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Good. Did you have another one in there? You said you had a couple.
Oh, I combined two of them together. But let me see. Oh, another one I did have was, how would you connect? Oh, I'm sorry. Let me go back. I can't read my own writing. How have you connected to spirit and vision in the past?
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. Another one of those connecting back in. Good. So I'm just catching the corner with the corner of my eye, and I'll go back to some other things in the chat also, but Barbara is saying my former education as a social worker has me looking at this as a potential red flag. How do you navigate that? Barbara, I just want to make sure I'm understanding your question. Can you come on for a sec? Because I feel like it's related to what we were just talking about before Issa.
Right. Well, the giving up, sometimes I just want to give up. And, you know, it, taking in, Ayana and I are we're coaching partners. So I'm very happy to be working with her. And so some of this information is not new to me. But just like when someone says give up, it doesn't always mean that, but when I hear it in the context of what to me is off the charts trauma and harm and physical, you know, challenges and you know, I mean, it's just it's like you're still breathing is how I can feel. And perceive it. So within that context, when I hear, I feel like giving up, you know, it's like, do I go there? You know, like there's that place of wanting to stay in the lane of coaching. Yeah. And then there's a place of, hell, I don't care. I want somebody to be safe.
Right. Well, no, exactly. And part of the lane of coaching is to create awareness if others support is needed. That is in the lane of coaching, right? So okay, there's a couple of things here. First of all, as you're saying, you know, just the term, like, I just want to give up, always coach the what based, the what based on the who. So it's not, you know, and you know, knowing what you know about the person, etc. So that's not always like, oh my gosh, I have to, you know, check in to that. You want to be listening, you know, all around. If that internal red flag does go up, like, oh my gosh, I don't feel like that was just an expression. I feel like there's something more here. Or even just if you see a client, just there's a lot of trauma, you know, because life sucks sometimes, you know, then it's more than appropriate to say something like, you know, I hear you have so much going on, and this is big stuff. Some of it that's even outside of what our work together is. Are you working with someone that can support you with this, or have you considered that? Or, you know, what would it look like, right? So sometimes you have to approach it a little tenderly so as not to like trigger shame. You want to normalize it completely before you ask. But if you're feeling like this is a red flag, then absolutely that is in the lane of coaching to open up awareness and to see what the resources are.
That's really helpful. Thank you. Because, it like, what stroke do you take, keeping with that metaphor? Okay, what stroke am I going to use now? And, so it can still be within the lane without actually being fully my responsibility.
Exactly.
Thank you.
There is a difference between being trauma-informed and a trauma worker.
Oh, yes.
Right.
Oh,
yes. And so trauma-informed is to, yeah, I know you know this, right? It's like to open up awareness, like we've been saying, about, you know, where it's like about getting support, but not to give that trauma support in the container. Yeah.
Thank you.
Sophie's asking, what if they don't have access to other resources? That's a good question, Sophie. I mean, you'd wanna, yeah, exactly. That's what I was gonna say, Amy, too. Like, you'd wanna suggest free resources. Okay, Lane.
I wanted to offer a reflection and then a question. I found it so striking, Ayana, when you talked about how every year of your life has had an enormous challenge, has involved enormous challenge. And at the same time, it really came through that you are a person who is able to connect to spirit and to nature. And you've done, it sounds like you've done so much work to create these connections to things that feed you and that not only feed you but allow you to be of service. And I just think it's remarkable in the context of all the challenges that you've been experiencing in your life that you have made so much effort and put in so much work to make these connections. What also struck me so much about what you said was this image of the cat in the ocean in the storm that is really staying with me. And my question is there an image that might have equal power of something that is miraculous, yeah, or something that you connect to in that natural realm or spiritual realm?
Too many words, just cut it at before that last phrase. It was beautiful. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Really well done. It's similar to a question that I wrote down. If the inner miracle were to happen, what would that cat transform into? Right. Mm-hmm. So beautiful, like going, making those connections and then you could, from there, whatever image the client comes up with, you could ask more about it. Well, what are the beliefs? You know, maybe it's a dog. Do that. I don't know, whatever it is, right? Like, what does the dog believe? What does the dog know about themselves, et cetera, et cetera. So that could, you know, bring you down a whole line. Nicely done. Jolly.
Snap. So that was going to be very similar to the question that I was going to ask, but I'll just word it slightly differently to see if that resonates at all. So first, I'd want to, of course, thank Ayana for being so open and vulnerable in your share. And you said so many things that I felt was really, you know, just opened up so many different portals, if you will. The one that really struck me, however, reminded me of something that came up in my coaching session yesterday with the coaching buddies. And it's this idea that imagination can hold contradiction. And then, so for some reason, I'm being called to just share that with you, and maybe that's not something I'm supposed to be doing, but from there, I was thinking about how you said, I just want an inner miracle. And I was thinking, first of all, I would like to explore how this, you know, you're not calling on a miracle from the outside. You're calling for a miracle from the inside. I just want this inner miracle. And I loved that. And I would want to explore that. But if I had to ask a question, it would be, what character from a story that you love would this inner miracle look like? Or what mythological goddess or God would you identify with that inner miracle? Does that make sense?
100%, really beautifully done. I love the using of the imagery and supporting the client to like to source that image of miracle from inside of themselves. Yeah, really nicely done. Tina.
I was trying to unmute. Joanna, I actually have a question for you. Just listening to everyone's input and your answers, is transformation still possible through the root of coaching if trauma is at the root of the problem?
Oh, you're asking hard questions. I'm gonna share a truth, but maybe not the truth, because I'm sure that the scientists have lots of different, you know, things and different opinions on this. But it's such a good question, and it's one that, you know, just first I'll say, like, transparently, I don't know the ultimate answer to. I just know from my experience, and I think the research out there is, you'll hear lots of things. If there is, in my experience, if there is unprocessed trauma, you can work transformation around it. You can, like, goals can, you know, be achieved, change can happen. There's just some pieces that in the coaching you're not going to get to unless there's other support there. So you don't have to, I mean, every now and again, if you're working with a client and there's a lot of unprocessed trauma, it's not appropriate to coach until they get supported. But there are many other times where it can be an in tandem thing, or where you choose the things that you can make the movement on. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I think maybe you're saying that it's dependent upon what other training the other person has when it comes to trauma and how to work around that. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm saying they may go and seek support from someone who can help them with that. And sometimes I'd say for the most part, this is not true, but every now and again, you may want to pause on the coaching so that the trauma can be resolved and then come back to the coaching. Other times the two can happen in tandem and you can still be working on other pieces around it to support clients to meet their goals.
Okay. Yeah, because my first instinct earlier, my first question I wrote down when we were writing down question is, where did she feel the storm in her body? Because that's like an automatic thing I do for myself, actually, is like, when I'm not feeling it, where am I feeling it? What, you know, like, why is it there? And what's really connected to that on a cellular level to help unleash that? So that they can create from a better place, you know, if we can help them unleash the storm a bit, you know.
Yeah, I'd say, always coach the what based on the who. You have to really hear into where a client is on a particular day. And sometimes that question is going to be phenomenal and super helpful and supportive. But then other days when, if the container isn't, if their container isn't solid enough, you're not gonna want to go into that question.
Okay. Got it.
Is that helpful?
Yeah.
Talk about it in that way?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Cecil.
Hi. So I was having a kind of an awareness about, I would like to ask you, Joanna, whether that would be an appropriate question to ask and how to do it. I was just seeing as the talk around possible suicidal, a possible suicidal situation was resonating with, at some point, Ayana said that there are people in my family that wants to kill me. And I was just seeing suddenly how that sensation of what the family might want to do somehow is being enacted in Ayana by not being connected to spirit, by, yeah, so that somehow if it's such a situation of overwhelm that she's ending up doing the things that are happening in the family on herself.
I see what you're saying. That might be an awareness that you share with the client and ask if it resonates for them, if that feels important in the conversation to get them to where they want to go. So in this case, Ayana wanted to feel connected to her vision, connected to spirit and nature, to feel good about herself. So if that's an awareness that you want to see resonates, you can ask for sure. Mm-hmm. If I'm understanding what you're saying correctly.
Yeah, it was that there was a sense of when talking also about the anger at the end, there was this sense of like pushing back on boundaries or like pushing back on people that were trespassing boundaries. And that sense of righteousness, I started feeling a sense of righteousness about, you know, get out of my space. Like,
So you'd want to ask a boundaries question, like the one that I asked earlier, what would healthy boundaries look like with your family?
Yeah.
Or what are inner boundaries? Sometimes it's hard to set outer boundaries with pesky family members. So what would inner boundaries with your family look like?
Yeah. Just that it could be that the sense of justice would change some of the patterns.
Absolutely. And that's why there were some other questions that were asked around the anger. You know, mine was what's the power that's available to you in the anger? So for sure, picking up on that would be very helpful. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So we've got 2 minutes left. Ayana, we've been talking about you for like 40 minutes. Can you come back on?
Hey.
Can you talk again? I can't see you.
No, I'm here.
Oh, there you are. Hi. Did you come up with any questions for yourself?
I was absorbing what people were asking. I mean, the questions I would lean towards with myself would be, you know, where do I feel things in my body, and how to connect with nature. But it's much more edgy for me to connect with the anger. And I do feel like I am doing the things to connect with nature. And I think that not feeling my anger is making it so I'm not feeling that connection.
Yeah. Wait, can we just pause on that? That's so big, Ayana. And I know you said that that's edgy, and so I just really want to honor you for like picking up on it and then speaking it out loud. The connection with nature. Of course, you want to keep on doing those practices. That's your comfort. I mean, not that we want you to be any more uncomfortable than you are right now. You have so much going on, but that, for the growth, like I really hear that you're seeing there's something here for you in your anger.
Yeah, there's a lot of anger, and to use that to find the inner boundary, so that instead of, which goes back to what I was saying, I want to feel good about myself, but that has to do with the last person who spoke, was it Seisel or what was
Seisel, yeah.
Seisel, yeah. you know, she was onto something in the sense of, you know, like we internalize toxic patriarchy or internally, you know, and in my family, there's a lot of internalizing, you know, being demonized and that, and scapegoated and just all that's gone on my entire life. And so there is, you know, being in a place where that's pointed at me and to a large degree, and there's a lot of history around it and a lot of people involved in it, and they don't know what the heck they're doing, but that's just they're doing it, and they're doing it with a lot of passion. I learned very young to take that on and to have, you know, I was always told it was my fault, and there's a part of me that took that on, and so that every time that I was abused, it was like it was always my fault, so that made it feel worse. So if I could change that, what I wanted to do is change that part inside, so that no matter what is happening out here, that if inside I could be on my own side rather than going, oh yes, you know, even though you're acting crazy and you're completely ridiculous, and I'm actually know myself pretty damn well, and I come from a place of love, and I'm actually doing like as right as I could possibly do and willing to grow, and like you're full of crap. So the part I'm saying right now, like I need to like strengthen that, it can be like, you know, screw you. I'm sorry you're so mentally ill, but get the hell out of my, get out of me, you know, get out of me, instead of having all this empathy for them and turning against myself.
Ayana, I just, what I observed, and you can tell me if that's true, is allowing yourself to go more into that anger just briefly right now. I felt a life force inside of you. I felt part of your life force opening up.
It's hard though, because like I felt a part and I felt good, and this other part goes more against myself. I want to like, oh no, you know, because I just want to take care of everybody, you know, and even the people that are hurting me, it's like even as they're hurting me, this part of me wants to take care of them.
Yes. So because we're at time, I'll leave you with a homework assignment on that, if it feels good. I want you to invite you from your highest wisdom to write a letter to that part of yourself that feels like you need to take care of everybody, even if it means sacrificing yourself.
So write a letter
from your highest wisdom to that part of you that feels like you just need to take care of everybody, even if it means sacrificing yourself.
Okay.
Thank you so much. First of all, Ayana, thank you for all of your sharing and being willing to be our guinea pig. Thank you to everybody for your incredible questions and your wisdom and what I feel has been such an important conversation for so many reasons. You are all incredible. And not only am I blown away, but I'm just continued to just be so, I don't know what the word is, just with the integrity of the group and your commitment to the craft. So thank you. If you want to share takeaways from this call, please do in the Facebook group. I want to see what your takeaways are. Sending you all lots of love, and I'll see you next week.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.